So when I just hit the call you button, it wouldn't let me record a call.
That's interesting.
It was grayed out. Yeah. But then again, I never tried to call you like that. So
it says it's recording now. So
yeah.
There you go. That was weird.
Anyway, how has your week been?
Crazy busy. Crazy busy.
Well, I mean, you run a company, you know, it kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, I guess you might be right. I guess.
Well, you know. Oh, they have video backgrounds and stuff. What's this?
What?
Hold on. What is this? Is it moving?
Yeah, the lights are twinkling.
What? I don't know what's moving in that.
Where are you finding that stuff at?
Drop down, appearance, I think.
Or... Oh, effects. I got it.
I feel like we do this like every 3 months.
I know. They got some new thing. Oh, I feel like that was me right there.
Which one?
Let's see. Whoa. Nope. Not that one. I don't have the moving. I must not have whatever updates you got.
Does it have like a little upload play button over the top of it? Well, that is you. Duh.
There we go.
Green scene credit settings. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, but you don't have a green screen.
I do not. I think I can do it. So been busy running a company? How are you really liking it?
Been busy trying to hire people.
Hire people for what?
Free open sales positions. So I've been interviewing people's.
I have no sales background, sir. I apologize.
That's okay.
Y'all don't pay enough.
That's probably right.
I would need to double my salary because I would have to move.
I don't know if we could double your salary. I don't know what your salary is now, but I don't know if we could double it.
About 80.
Well, if you have a pretty decent sales year, you could double it.
Wait a minute. Are people actually buying machines right now? I just thought about it.
Yeah, people are buying machines.
So... The crazy market hasn't affected y'all that much. Well, we talked about it before, but are just people? That's the price.
I mean, it has some, but I mean, I don't think it has to the extent.
What? I don't like that face.
I got like a weird. I tried to log in to check something on my app that I get my paychecks on, and it's changed. It looks completely different. And so.
Oh, yeah. See, your company, you run the company. They just change the stuff. And stuff don't even tell you. You just get updates.
Yeah, I'm about to have to fire somebody.
That's the hard part of running a company. You got to fire people every now and then.
Okay, let me do this. Let me email this to myself and to my wife. Today was paycheck day. I didn't realize it.
Cool. I get paid. It's not all right. It's not mine. So
this is, we're halfway through what month is this? October?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't right. What? Where's my current paycheck? What in the world's going on?
They did it to Giselle a month or so ago.
Do y'all use Paylocity?
I don't know what they, I don't know what she uses. We use a DoD system.
I guess it's because
they use.
I think it's because I've been changed to a manager. So now I can see people below me's pay. That's weird. I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, yeah. You've supervised it.
Earnings for September 16th through 30th. So, okay. So that's the pay period. But that's weird. I've never seen it show up like that before. That's weird.
Well, you're the boss now.
Yeah, but this still isn't right. It should be showing, because I got paid today. I checked my bank account. But it's not showing today's paycheck. Anyway, I was just going to show you. Just so this is October 15th. But even though the 15th paycheck's not showing on here, so you could add more to this. But
yeah, I can't see that. Yeah, it blacked all of that out.
it said nah. It said none.
You turned into, you did the turbo team thing and turned it into a whole car.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's too close. See, you get paid more than me.
So there you go. So you can. See, you just need to learn how to save.
The company.
You just gotta come. Look, that's one paycheck as the manager of this is factored into that. So that's the rest of that is just a normal sales year. You can't be counting if that ain't.
Yeah. But I get three paycheck. Oh, well, I get paid from three different places in a monthly basis.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you got that retirement money. Got that double dipping.
Well, after allotments and paying health insurance and dental insurance and things like that, I think I clear. $120, $130, maybe.
There you go. See, you're doing all right.
No, I'm not, because I should be getting paid more from my paycheck.
Sadly, that's just what it takes just to eke by at this point, I think.
Yeah, it feels that. I remember once back in the day, I was like, hey, man, if I can make $100,000 a year.
I know. That used to be like the magic number. Now it don't mean nothing.
Yep.
All right. So our topic tonight is going to be what? Are you springing something on me?
All right, cool. So, because you're going to, you can think about this a little. So, did you Google the lifted Tesla thing?
Yeah, when I Googled off-road Tesla, I saw two video results. I saw Grindhard Plumbing, which is who I commented, and then I saw TFL people did something, but I ain't interested in watching nothing they do, so I didn't watch that.
I saw it. I got it via Jalopnik. Because, you know, I get
July. Who were they showing?
It says, well, let me look at this video real quick because I didn't realize the video on it. but who is this dude? Why don't you tell me who the video is from?
Oh, you talking about this, the black kind of Model Y?
Living pop-up in Tesla? Motor? Pop-up motor?
Pop-up motor.
Hold Let me do this.
I don't see that one.
I'll share this. Let's do it real quick. Oh, it's not what I want to do. Why can't I just share things no more easily like that no more? That's weird.
I see a bunch of people doing off-roady stuff in Teslas, including Rich Rebuilds when he had the guys from Grindhard on there. But
why can't I just share this like I used to do?
It looks like Grindhard and this other channel, which I've never heard of, called Living in Tesla, seem to have the most off-roading stuff.
All right, I'm going to copy the link, see if this works. Yeah, it won't just let me share the video like it usually does. That's weird.
And then there's this I1 Tesla.
Share. window. I think that was it. Can you see that?
Yes.
All right, cool. But this is that not, I'm not doing that 8 minute anymore.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know them. Me Pop either. Up Motor says it's Model Traveler is more than just a lift kit. Pop Up Motor. I'm looking for them.
So that was the short video. Stop sharing. All right, cool. I'll see you again. So I saw that, and it made me think, because I was like, why would you do that? I was like, I wouldn't have thought to do that to a Model Y, right? But then I remember a young wise man told me that you can off-road anything. And we had a whole conversation about off-roading weird things. And then we off-roaded a Beetle. You got me looking at a Beetle with 20,000 inches of lift on it last week.
Yep.
So what would you off-road that isn't currently an off-roader? Gotta be new.
Something that's brand new right now?
Something new-ish, at least. Something that is something that was a lot that was built while we were adults. You can't copy All something right. somebody else did either. Or, I mean, we probably are copying things somebody else did, but that ain't the point. And then I want to talk to you about a couple things that people around me are doing.
Okay. All right, I'll bring that up.
You said you wanted to talk about how the strike is going to affect car prices?
Yeah, but we don't have to. I have another topic we can talk about.
We can talk about that a little bit. I mean, it's relevant. I'd be honest, I may, because I've been following it the whole time. So
I have not, so you probably know more.
I know you haven't. I know you haven't. So,
dang it.
I mean, you were busy setting up running the company.
Right.
Also, for the record, my daughter and daughter-in-law listened to the end of the last episode specifically to hear you quiz me about phrases.
Quiz you about what?
The new kid slang.
Oh, wow. I'd about forgot all about that.
And the one with the acronym, neither of them said, yeah, I heard people use that. I don't get it either.
Really?
Yeah. Well, one of them's 18, the other one's 24. Yeah, 24, 25,
whatever. Anywho. Okay, I've been doing a little research just to make sure that nobody else is doing this. And I can't find a single render, picture, concept, nothing. So I think I'm on safe footing when I say it's a world first.
Okay, cool. It's a build creation. Yep. You see, like, you thought about this before. You had this in your head. And no, it can't be a smart car, but we are going to talk about smart car off-roading things, too.
It's not a smart car, because we know a bunch of people already off-road smart cars. So we know it's not that.
It can be whatever you want it to be. Well, we already recorded. You want to do this?
Let's do it.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners and car fans. Welcome back to another episode of BS Car Guys Podcast. We are happy to be recording again. And in keeping with our current series of episodes about jumbled up mishmash, we bring you another episode of Jumbled Up Mishmash.
Absolutely, because jumbled up mishmash is fun. Getting dirty is fun. If you don't remember when you were a kid, some of your funnest times had to do with you getting absolutely disgusting.
Yeah,
absolutely. And if you're an adult, some of your funnest times were doing disgusting things. And that's where we'll leave that. Use your own imagination.
There you go.
So, Bill, I'll tell you that my daughter and daughter-in-law, they did enjoy you quizzing me on modern slang. And I think we got at least 5 listeners just to hear that part. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, so hey, we'll take new listeners any way we can get them.
Absolutely, because they thought it was hilarious that I didn't know a couple of things. They were jonesing me. That's another thing that I don't use. They were jonesing me about.
I don't know that anybody should be using that one, to be honest with you, but whatever.
Yeah, me either. I don't get it. I just accepted that they speak a completely different language. Youth, a whole different language. Yeah. But yeah, so we're back. We're back. Bill's fresh off a PTO meeting, getting his parent on. And now we're going to talk about juvenile things.
That's right.
So
as you do.
All right, cool. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about in our latest mishmash episode is I got a news alert from Jalopnik, like I do. And so I opened it up in the morning when I'm checking my emails, and it had a Tesla Model Y that had an 8-inch lift on it and some pretty serious looking tires. And I thought it was kind of cool and kind of weird. And I figured I should talk to my favorite off-roader guy about, how do you feel about off-roading a Model Y?
And to which I immediately replied, oh, have you been watching Grind Hard Plumbing? Because that's like, they're on my list of usual watches on YouTube. And they have, I guess, prior to this company that Stanley saw, and their new lift kit options, they had what I consider to be the first and most capable off-road Tesla ever built. And so turns out that's not what Stanley was talking about. He was looking at something else.
Yeah. Evidently, you can get various companies that you can get 8 to 15-inch lift for Teslas. Wait a minute. When you had your Jeep, right? I remember you wanted to lift it a little bit.
And I did. Right?
And you did. How does that work with, like, independent suspension and stuff? You got to educate. I don't know anything about this stuff, so you educate me.
Yeah, it's a little weird, especially on front wheel drive based car, like small SUVs, because you kind of have to have a twofold approach, because, you know, lifting a body on frame vehicle is different. You have two approaches. You can lift the suspension, and you can do a suspension lift, and you are effectively, you're changing some of the geometry, the suspension geometry. And so you have to do things to compensate for that. Or you can do a body lift where the chassis stays proportionally the same distance from the center line of the axle. You just basically disconnect the cab or the interior of the vehicle from the chassis, and you just put in spacers, right? So, and then, so that's when you see like these trucks riding around, and you can see like the whole frame rail underneath the body. That's a big body lift, and it gets the truck way up in the air and lets you run bigger tires, but you only grow the distance. Your ground clearance only changes by however, you know, half the height of whatever tire you choose. Does that make sense? So
in that second scenario, you're not necessarily gaining. You could do that without actually gaining ground clearance. You're just lifting the vehicle.
Right. Until you put a bigger tire on there, you're technically not gaining any ground clearance. And when you do a body lift, you drastically change the vehicle's driving dynamics, because you're raising the center of gravity in a worse way than you would if you were also altering the suspension geometry. Because at least then you still have the same physics applied to the suspension that you did at the regular ride height. You just bumped it up a little. But when you just raise the body, you're asking that low suspension to compensate for a real high mass. So anyway,
geometry.
You know, you're getting science tonight. By the way, listeners, I didn't know I was going to be answering science questions tonight. So there's that. So with a vehicle like the Jeep Renegade, so front wheel drive based small SUV car, wagon, hatchback.
That you enjoyed.
Yes. My wife enjoyed more.
And you scared the crap out of me the first time I rode it.
That was unlifted. That was bone stock. In fact, we'd only had it like a week when I took you off road in it.
I was sure it was going to get stopped. I was sure we were walking back home that day.
It just shows you that most off-road vehicles are far more capable than the average person knows what to do with. So with that vehicle, your lift was essentially two different things. You had they really, at the end of the day, they were more or less body lifts. In that case, it was only like an inch and a half. But because you don't have a frame to lift off of, what you actually lift are drivetrain components. So in the front, you had basically spacers that went at the top of the shock towers.
Okay.
And then because that pushed your suspension lower than the body, you had to compensate for that with a slightly longer pitman arm and tie rod ends, because now that geometry is lengthened. Okay. And then that affects your toe end. So you have to then do an alignment, and you may, like, some people had to buy caster correctors, or there is enough play in the factory suspension. You can correct it without a caster correcting, which is basically like a cammed bolt anyway, that's a lot of geometry. And then in the rear, you basically take the entire rear subframe, which is like the metal box that has the rear diff and everything coming out of it, and you just drop that whole box down. So it's like four bolts and spacers. You have to relocate your emergency brake line, and you have a carrier bearing for your drive shaft from the front of the vehicle to the rear of the vehicle, right? So the carrier bearing is halfway up that drive shaft and basically keeps the mass of the drive shaft from flopping around, right, if it gets any out of balance. you also have to relocate that and lower it as well, because everything has to move by that amount. Then that effectively allows you to run 2-inch taller tires, even though you're only doing an inch and a half lift. And so that you do all that for 2 inches bigger tire. So you can run like a 32-inch tire, basically.
So these dudes that's doing this with the Tesla, without actually going into research, they're probably doing the second thing, like what you just said.
They're probably doing something very similar. The Tesla is interesting to me because you have this entire skateboard assembly with the battery packs, and the motors are located. Like, it is definitely raising the body of the vehicle somehow, looking at the pictures. And then because of that, they're able to run a bigger tire. But my guess is they're doing something else with the suspension as well. So let's see. They'll give you a set of pucks. They'll give you 1 3/4. So yes, the pucks are 1 3/4. That's a body lift. But this said they also were doing a bigger lift than that, right?
Yeah, there. I've seen
5 inches.
I saw on here. I didn't do that much research, but
that's interesting. Okay. Well, my guess is most of it is achieved through a body lift, and then they may be doing a little something with suspension.
But all right, so this is a different. Well, actually, this is a combination of a different question that I was going to ask you about something else. Would you drive a lifted Model Y? Would that get you into Tesla?
No, I don't think I would. I think if I were thinking I want an off-roadable electric vehicle that looks unique and different, then I would just be the first person to throw money down on an Alpha Motors vehicle.
Well, we would do that too, but they're not 100% real yet.
They're not 100% real yet, but they are getting much closer.
Yeah, I was about to say I haven't checked the status of the company in a while, but I did show off all the cars to everybody, and there was a pretty even split. Some people either some people looked at it as like, I don't like it altogether, and they automatically dropped on my rung of people who I like. Because I don't understand how you look at all of those cars on Alpha Motors and not like none of them. That does not make sense to me.
So, it's weird to me that you don't like any of them. I mean, I understand not liking some of them. There's a couple on there that that aren't my favorite either. But I don't understand not liking any of them. I feel like that's just you're being standoffish. As somebody who can often be accused of looking for an opportunity to not like any of something somebody offers, on principle alone, I kind of feel like that's what that is.
Well, the two people who said they didn't like stuff, they were younger and they said they look old.
Okay.
Yes.
I have no comments.
Yes. Yeah. I had none either. the wagon, I can't remember the name of it.
Remember the name of it either. Really, the wagon got the most praise. Interesting. Yeah.
Because people looked at it, it's like, oh, that's cool looking. And it wasn't the off-road wagon all the time. It was both of them, both versions of it.
See, I actually don't care for the lowered wagon. Yeah. I don't like the body. I don't like the way it sits on the wheels as well as I do the off-roaded version of it.
Okay. And I like the one that looked like a freaking old Dyson. I'm pulling this up right now so I can actually
see the one that looked like a 510.
Oh, yeah. Truck and the one that looked like a 510. Yeah, both of them.
So they just dropped this week.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?
I am.
Oh. Actually, I was going there. I just saw that on the website. The Wolf.
This is their Wolf Plus that they just showed this week. They did a blacked out version as well. Let me show you that one. So these are the two they dropped this week on their Instagram.
Yeah. I like the other one better. I like that.
I like the tan better too. Brown truck.
Yeah. Hey, brown is the color.
Yeah. So anyway, they just showed both of those this week. And then they've got this color, which they don't have anything special on yet, but this is just a really cool brown.
I like that color brown.
It's called Grapefruit Caramel.
I don't understand the name. That name. That name makes no sense whatsoever.
I mean, I get caramel. I get caramel. I don't know about grapefruit caramel, but I get caramel. So here's, they did also post some photos of the actual truck actually driving. So they have working prototypes that are working. Here's the video maybe of it driving. No, those are just steel shots. Hold on.
And I'll put a link in the description to Alpha Motors website. I don't know if you can put Instagram links in here. I know Instagram, so I don't know how that works. So
yeah, as somebody who didn't get any of the, got very little of the young people lingo right. Everybody's really shocked that you don't Graham.
Yeah. That's the Graham. That's the infamous, the Graham, right?
Yeah, the Graham. The Graham, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do it for the Graham.
Do it for
the Graham.
Okay. Yeah.
So while I've got your attention, so here's Grindhard Plumbing, and here's their off-road Tesla that they cut up and hacked up and put a rooftop tent on and took off-roading and raced and sank in a pond and, I mean, just did some pretty cool stuff with.
Okay. Because the link you sent me earlier was a guy drag racing the lightest Tesla ever.
That's Kyle from Boosted Boys, and he bought a Plaid that was wrecked and ripped the whole entire body off. So hold on, let me take you all the way back to here's where it had no body on it at all. He took the entire body off and took it to the drag strip, but it had too much drag in the front end because it wasn't aerodynamic enough. So then he put the front clip back on it and raced it again, and did pretty good. And then he built this like super light aluminum body and raced a stock Plaid and beat it. So now he's still racing it around with no, that's what I seen you was him racing at FL2K last week, with just the front end on it. But anyway, he's got some cool videos with his Plaid. He also has 1,000 horsepower. He likes to K swap stuff. He loves the Honda K series motor. So he has the fastest MR2 in the world. He's got a Honda Odyssey that's got a K swap. It's 1,000 horsepower. He's got an NSX with a K swap that's 1,000 horsepower. Yeah, he's a big Honda engine guy.
Tell me it was wrecked first, because I wouldn't do that to the NSX because NSX.
You know, it might have been blown up or something. I don't actually know.
Yeah. I mean, people blow up cars all the time, so I get it. So now seeing that that Tesla that was lifted and made rugged, the new sporty, the reference in the old episode.
Wow, that's throwing it way back. That's like a season one reference.
Yeah. So what would you do out there that's new in the market, relatively new on the market, that you would ruggedize that doesn't have a ruggedized version of it?
I should have kept my screen share going. I didn't know I was going to go first. Hang on a second. Okay. So this is an inspiration. I want you to look at this and kind of picture my headspace.
Okay? All right, cool.
Okay.
So you got to say what it is.
So we're looking at some concept art of like, I don't know if you've ever seen like Icelandic snow vehicles or these like Arctic vehicles, right? That have these giant 54 inch like balloon Arctic tires on them. But this is this picture is a Lamborghini Urus that somebody turned into the, like an arty concept of an Arctic vehicle. Well, that's not my vehicle, not the Lamborghini Urus. And then you combine the look of that Urus with this concept car, which was a BMW M4 with like a custom camper built into the back of it. So we're blending some styling here. So think like off-roadable, but more rally spec at, with a camping element on a Ferrari Paraswangue. So that's my off-road vehicle I would off-road. Ferrari Paraswangue or however you say it.
Yeah, you can mess that word up tonight. I'm not. Well, that qualifies. I know you like that vehicle way more than I do. I still would rather have the old FF than that. I thought it was perfect. I know you do too.
I mean, the FF would make a cool off-road vehicle too. Don't get me wrong. I'm okay with either one of those.
Yeah.
But that's the idea. So like a 35-inch, real wide, real meaty off-road, but more like rally spec off-road, you know, for just mobbing some dunes, some dirt roads. Maybe it's got a rooftop tent on it or a camper of some sort. Yeah, that's my off-road vehicle that people aren't off-roading.
I see where you go, and you went expensive because, you know, you have expensive taste. You're a caviar man. You're a caviar guy. That who don't even like fish or nothing about them.
I was just trying to keep it interesting instead of going like Porsche or, you know, something you knew I was going to do.
So you could do that.
Yeah, I know. The Dakar is pretty sweet. One just sold on Bring a Trailer, by the way, for like $300,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it probably isn't a lot. It's probably going to be worth more than that in a minute. So I was thinking, and I didn't put that much thought in this. I actually kind of wanted to see where you were going to go with it, because, like I said, it popped up and I didn't really think nothing about it. So what I would do, I was thinking, all right, so it has to at least come with an all-wheel drive. And it has to have at least decent horsepower. Because you got to get those wheels moving somehow. I don't know if so off the top of my head, I was thinking initially, do it to a Mazda 3 hatchback with the turbo 2.5, right?
Yep, that's doable.
And I mean, like the piece, because you can kind of do it with pieces that are already available. Because the chassis on those cars are relatively the same. So you can take the pieces from like a Meridian CX-50 and kind of make it work. You got to jerry-rig something, because it wouldn't be fun if you didn't jerry-rig something anyway.
I mean, you're right. I mean, if you just had like the Meridian CX-30.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That would work too.
They don't make that currently, but if they did... Yeah. Like that would be pretty cool. A slightly lifted, off-roaded with a roof rack, a little bit of an all-terrain tire. I think they'd sell well.
Yeah, I think that would sell well. I think they could do that for a special edition, because Mazda used to have a thing where they did special editions of it. Well, they still do special editions of a different special edition of the MX-5 every year. yes. So that was the common person's, you know, newfound oval
you've got a common person's and a extravagant. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So the second one is I was kind of torn between two things, because they are kind of, they're cousins-ish, so you could do it. You could do it. I know you can do it with one, but I don't know how you would really do it with the other one. So I was stuck between the Alfa Romeo Stelvio with the Dago, with the big, with the 2.9 in it, or the the Levante.
I think I'd pick the Stelvio of those two.
The Stelvio is the one I would want more. I would want more, but the Levante would be the one that's easier because it shares a lot of pieces with a Grand Cherokee.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is like the European Hellcat version of the Trackhawk.
It really is. It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and both of them got Ferrari derived motors. And I think they would be cool as heck. Yeah, man. Okay. I'm seeing it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about the Giulia, but I don't want to. I don't want them to do that to the Giulia. All I want is a wagon.
Right. Only if they made a wagon version of a Giulia first.
Yes. Yes.
If they made a wagon version, then you can off-road that. So I was thinking while you were talking about. Because when you say you had like an everyman's, I was like, dang, I probably needed like a more everyman vehicle. And of course, my taste buds are still a little higher. But I went with, this is my other idea, and I don't know from a practicality standpoint. Obviously, it doesn't make sense because this company is doing something similar but completely different. So hear me out.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the company Vanderhall?
I've heard that before, yes.
So, you know, they make the three-wheeled, whatever it's called. Yes. They've got a four-wheeled off-roader coming out called the Brawley. It's not out yet, but it's coming. It looks like a better Jeep Wrangler.
Okay.
However, I'm thinking three-wheeled off-roader. That's what I'm thinking. So big, knobby, like mud terrain tire in the back, you know, or even think about it from like sand dunes, right? So you got like the big paddle tire in the back and the little skinny like balloon tires in the front with a little single rib on it, like a Baja Beetle, but three wheeled.
What, first of all, you're asking, essentially what you're doing is signing your death certificate by doing that. Trust me, I routinely, on a daily basis, the three of I had as a kid try to kill me. Every day.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a three-wheeler's job, but that was one wheel in the front. This is one wheel in the back.
I hear you. The common man's version of that is an off-road slingshot. I mean, why don't they make that already?
It is a good question. Why not make an off-road slingshot? I mean, Polaris is definitely the company that should be able to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. That should be a thing already.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we've stumbled into something here. Why aren't they making one?
Yeah. I mean, it's cobbled together anyway. I mean,
yeah.
They do a whole bunch of off-road things anyway. Why don't they make an off-road slingshot? This doesn't make sense.
Right. I think this segment is taking a turn into the why hasn't somebody done this already?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, if you got an off-road slingshot, then just send us a picture. Or if you know what it is, if you've seen one, send us a picture. My second one, my follow-up question to that is kind of going back to the rugged is the new sporty theme kind of a little bit, is what ruggedized version, or I guess that's the ruggedized factory version of a car right now that is being slept on. I got my answer already.
Wait, you have to rephrase the question. I'm not sure I understand what you're trying to say.
All right. So let's say, like, Toyota makes a RAV4.
Okay.
They make, all right, so they have a RAV4 Wilderness, not Wilderness. Oh, gosh. Subaru makes the Cross Trek or whatever the heck it is, and they have a Cross Trek Wilderness.
Yes.
Or Outback and an Outback Wilderness, right? Okay. So take that. You know, Ford has the Timberline things.
Yes.
GMC has AT4. All these things, right?
Honda has Trail Sport.
Yeah, Trail Sport. So which one of these ruggedized trims is being slept on in your head? I got mine already.
I got it. I already got it.
All right, what's
Volkswagen?
Oh,
why doesn't Volkswagen have, like, I think they've got a off-roady trim package for the Atlas that's coming out. It may already be out. But they don't have anything for, like, the Tiguan, or what's the other one? The
Tiguan and
what's the smaller one?
Taos. Yeah, that thing.
Toss it over here. Toss.
Yeah. Well, that's one of them. Well, why don't you already make this? But what I was kind of going for is like this. The Volvos.
Yeah.
The Volvo. Oh, gosh. What's the trim? Oh, see, I just lost it just now. The Volvo wagons that with the plaid seats. Oh, see, now I got to Google it.
Not Polestar. What is it? It's not Polestar, right?
Polestar. No, it's not Polestar. Is it Cross Country?
Yes, that's Volvo Cross Country. Yes.
Yeah. I think those are the most slept on ruggedy cars out there.
I wanted a Volvo XC90 wagon for years. I always went back and forth between it and the Audi Allroad. I mean, we know which one I landed on. But
yep, the Audi. Which, that's a good segue. That's a good segue right there.
Yep.
But yeah, I think.
And let me tell you the Audi Allroad is a very capable off-roady wagon. I drove that thing, and I had the, like, sport package with the 19-inch wheels and lower profile tires. Mine was definitely set up more performance oriented, but I still had the same ground clearance as, like, a Lexus RX. Mm-hmm. And people did not, like, you don't think about that wagon having that kind of ground clearance, but yeah. I would park it anywhere. Like, if I went to a race or something, I could just drive across whatever ditch or curb, or it didn't matter. It just go wherever I needed to go. So it was more capable than people realize.
What if I told you a Volvo V60 Cross Country is right at the average price of a new car in the world today? Only $49,700.
Yeah, I can believe that.
I feel like that should cost more.
You think? For the 60? I mean,
it's still a Volvo.
Yeah, that is true. It is still a Volvo.
I mean, and even the V90 is only 59. I feel like that's a deal.
Yeah, that is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Why is that cheap? Anyway, I'm gonna have to look into that anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the core, you were saying, right? The XC60 is the core is 47.8, but the ultimate is 58.
Well, I mean, it's a Volvo. If you plan on getting it dirty, maybe you don't need all this stuff in there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's a good
point. But you said something about your Audi earlier, which is a pretty good segue, because that was something I needed to talk to you about. I miss your Audi, first of all.
Do you?
But you know what car I miss more than your Audi?
What?
Your Jetta.
I miss my Jetta.
And so I had the young man who had the Genesis, excuse me, the had the Genesis right now is looking to get a sedan. And yeah. He has settled on a car that he will be looking at getting this weekend if something comes in, because he has to fix something on his current car that okay. he didn't know was a problem first. He has settled on this. I'm going to show it to you real quick.
It's a GLI.
He has settled on a... Nope, it's not a GLI.
Redline.
It is not. Where did that go? I don't like this new Teams. Maybe they shouldn't have changed all this. This is weird. I don't like it.
It's the most old man boomer thing you've said. Oh, no, changing stuff better when it was older. Oh, he found a manual Jetta.
Yes, he found a 2023 Jetta. It is not a GLI. It is the same color as your old Jetta. It yep. is the 1.5 Sport. It's only $23,000.
Yeah, they're a good deal. And if you can find a manual, that's a good buy right there.
Yeah, he has fallen in love with this.
What's the mileage on it?
Oh, it's brand new.
Oh, brand new, bruh. That's a buy right there.
Yeah, it's brand new. And so he was asking me about it. He's like, man, will it hold up? I was like, it's a Volkswagen. It's German. It's going to have German things, which are very different from your old Toyota things and your Hyundai Genesis things. But I knew a dude who put all the miles he can find in North Carolina
on the East Coast. Yeah.
On the East Coast.
And we owned that car for 10 years and 6 months, almost to the day, and put 272,000 miles on it. I bought it yeah. with 6 miles on it.
Yeah. So I was like, and so my philosophy on cars is still it is very simple. Cars act the way you treat them.
Well, I flogged that car pretty hard.
Well, but you didn't. But you did the maintenance.
I did.
You did, which is something that most people just don't do. So you did the maintenance on the car. You made sure the car was running well, which I don't doubt that he will do. So, and you may find you can get any car with a Gremlin. I mean, you can buy Toyota's got.
That's very true. That is very true.
But if you get it and you treat it well, it'll treat you well. That's always been my philosophy. And I knock on wood or fake wood, I haven't found a lemon yet. So there. But
I feel like my Saturn was right on the verge of a lemon.
Well, you did like attempt to destroy that car daily.
That's true. I did my best.
And for a plastic car made by GM in the 90s, I think it held up pretty well.
Okay, fair point. Fair point. Touche, I think, as they say, but as the kids say.
The other side of this Volkswagen thing is, so my son just returned from Germany, right? And he's going to have to buy a new car. And this is the car that he is currently thinking about. I did not tell him to look at that car. So evidently, he likes funky cars, too. I didn't, he just picked it up for me.
I'm not mad at it. I think they're a cool looking car, and you do not see enough of them on the road.
Yeah. So
it is an underappreciated car.
Yeah. It could be something to the fact that he just came from Germany for the last 3 years.
Sure of it.
But the car we're looking at is the 2023 Volkswagen Arteon. That car is way quicker than it probably needs to be. It's essentially had the motor out of
the Golf R
in it. So yeah,
Yeah, but, it's yeah. all the quick, and it's really nice. I mean, it's very technologically packed. It's a good car. That's a loaded up car too.
Yeah. So evidently, so you have through me, the German bug has bitten my son, and he sees German cars as the ultimate of things now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you got another believer. You made another believer somehow. Vicariously through me.
There you go. That's what I'm here for. Well, so at the risk of derailing the show, I have a current car dilemma to put forth. I hesitate to even say it because I don't want you to get overly excited.
Okay.
So
I promise to get overly excited.
I know. So in previous episodes, I've mentioned a couple of things. One of the things that I've mentioned in a previous episode is that I was considering putting up the Land Cruiser entire project for sale because I'm just never going to have the time to finish it. And we talked about that.
Life happens.
Yes. In a previous episode, I have discussed that my next vehicle will have a manual transmission. And that's if I buy another car, it will have a manual. Mm-hmm. That's my one real criteria.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the bug recently to buy. Like I just, it's.
It attacks all of us at some point.
I'm struggling hard. So I went and I test drove a Civic Si with the manual. Very nice. Very good shifter.
Okay.
I drove two different Mustang GTs. Mm-hmm. One was a 2018 or 19. It was a 2019 base GT, really base. Mm-hmm. I actually was like, I wish I had a little more technology than this, which
what?
I know, right? But it didn't even have Android Auto. I was like, come on, it's a 2019. How base can you be?
You the guy who prefers
I know, the I know. Shut up. This is not the part to get hung up on. So anyway, I test drove it. It was nice. It only had like 18,000 miles on it, but they wanted way too much for it. And then I test drove a 2015, so it was a 50th anniversary edition Mustang that had 1,900 miles on it. I broke it in. I broke it in one test drive. Yeah.
How did that car have 1,900?
I don't know. 1921 when I got in it. That's what the mileage read. I almost took a picture. Okay. So I've been looking at all these cars with manuals. They also wanted way too much for that car. For what I would plan to do with it, they want way too much for that car. So I've been looking at all these cars with manuals. And I literally Monday of this week, Tuesday of this week, like 2 days back to back was like, that's it. I'm going to get a chance in the next week or so. I'm going to go out there, put the wheels back on the 96. I'm going to take some pictures of all the pieces. And I'm going to make a post. And I'm going to put on my 80 series LS swap Facebook group and see if anybody wants to buy a project. And I'm getting a car with a manual. I cannot take it any longer, just sitting there, not doing anything. And then Tuesday night, at about, I don't know, 8:30, I get an email from the shop in South Carolina that I had reached out to like 2.5 years ago to do my LS swap. who I, by the way, canceled my spot in line on when I bought the donor truck because I just knew I was going to get this done by myself. And the email says, I didn't cancel your spot. I kept it just in case. And I wanted to let you know you're on deck if you're still interested. So we talked yesterday for about
Did you talk to the president of the Crawford Club?
No, that came afterwards. So we talked for about 2 hours. And he laid out some scope of work. And it put me in a bit of a tight spot. Because now I find myself at a crossroads.
Okay.
I can deliver the Land Cruiser and he can start on it almost right away, like in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be done in 6 months. Or I can try and sell the thing and give up on ever having a LS swapped Land Cruiser, and whatever money I get out of it, put that with some money and buy a car with a manual. And before you try to blend the two, I've already tried that with the president. She will not approve the LS swap to include a manual in the Land Cruiser because okay. She wants to drive it just as much as I do.
Okay.
So that compromises out. I went to bed last night 100% undecided on what I should do. I woke up this morning 100% still undecided on what I should do. I sit here this evening podcasting with you 100% undecided on what I should do. I do not have evidence in one direction to outweigh my what do they call it? The two circles, my Venn diagram.
Yep.
There is no extra compelling case on either side of my Venn diagram, and I'm living in that little middle section that just says happy, happy, happy. And I don't know. So that's my quandary.
I'm going to take those circles and we're going to squish them together some more. And this is the proposal. I should have named this one. You know what? This is going to be named a proposal, some version of the proposal. Stanley proposes that. First, let me ask a question. If you were to do the work on the Lexus, on the Toyota, when would you have to pay for it? At completion or at start?
You mean if I send it to the guy?
Yeah.
It's a portion up front, some order against money in the middle, and a cost at completion.
All right, cool. And you're comfortable paying that price, right? You can pay that price. I can't say comfortable because I know who you are. You can pay that price.
Okay. That's part of the conversation.
All right, cool. So this is Stanley's proposal. Stanley proposes that you get all your stuff together and you send that car down there to that shop and you let them do the work. While the work is being done, you drive that Civic Si. You go get it. Because, let me finish. When the work is done, which is going to be about 6 months, you may be ready for a new experience by then. At that point, you can sell either one of them things for more than you paid for it.
You might be right. There is a fatal flaw in your scenario.
Okay.
I like your scenario. I would be on board with your scenario, except for the one fatal flaw. I will not have a car payment. And I do not have stupid money. I cannot buy two cars at the same time. I don't know who has that kind of money.
All right,
you people will who go not to Barrett Jackson with a tag, I guess. I don't know.
All right, I know you well enough to know your grievances against car payments and you know, applying for a loan and all that and everything. However, comma pause for effect. A temporary, so either way, in the middle of this, you're going to have to get around, right? She's going to have to get around.
Let me just go ahead and tell you that my truck and her current Land Cruiser are non-negotiables. They will remain in place. She will not part ways with her 100. She loves it. A guy tried to buy it at a gas station this past week, and I can't let go of my truck because you got to have a truck for truck stuff. What if I got to haul a cow?
Cool. Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. You got to have that, so you have the cow and everything, but you also got to do a bit of driving.
Yeah, a bit of driving. By the way, just got my oil changed today. I bought my truck in November of 21 with... I want to say it had 42,000 on it. I'd have to go back and look at paperwork. Let's just say it had around 40. Today, and we're not at the end of October yet. I still got some more driving to do. But as of today, it's sitting at 102,000 miles.
Well, Dad, you got me beat. I thought it was bad because we legitimately put 23,000 miles on that Mazda in a year.
Well, that's what we did in the Jetta for 10 years straight. We did 10 consecutive years of 20 plus thousand miles. Yeah, yeah. It's when you like a car, you just drive. But yeah, the truck I put some miles on. But I would like to say this on a separate note, not that we're sponsored, but if they want to sponsor us, I'm okay with it. 2 years ago when I bought that truck, the first week I had it, I put in brand new set of BF Goodwrench KO2s on there, 35-inch tires, and they are still on there, and they still have pretty good tread life left. I'm probably going to replace them soon, but 2 years, let's call it 60-plus thousand miles, and to look at them, you would think, that guy hadn't had those tires that long. They're the best. If you need an all-terrain off-road tire, there is not a better tire on the market. There are quieter tires. There are louder tires. There are maybe better performing off-road all day, every day tires. But for all around, you're going to drive most days on the road and occasionally do some stupid stuff in the woods. There is not a better tire. Just saying.
Okay.
That's my plug.
All right. So back to this quandary that you have.
Yep.
I know you are opposed to getting a loan and doing all that stuff because, you know, you being Bill.
By the way, the president is opposed to that also.
Okay, cool. However, 6 months of, it ain't going to be $500 a month. Is way less than taking $20,000, $30,000 out of your account. So just put it to the side. Because in 6 months, in 7 months, you're going to make a decision about which one of these things you're going to keep. So just be honest. Just pay that up front. Pay 7 months of it up front. Because in 7 months, you know you're going to you're going to sell one of these things. You're going to make more money than what you paid. And you're just going to pay off that loan if you decide to go with the Civic, which I doubt you're going to do. or sell the Civic, pay it off, and it's gone. You might not feel comfortable with pulling $30,000 out of your account. And on top of that, but you can pull four.
The president's not going to approve payments. I just
do I need to talk to the president? Do I need to put in on this? I got a dollar for the calls. I can do a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. You throw a sales pitch at the president, because I can tell you, I'm pretty good at selling. I can't sell it.
Yeah. You are a better seller than I am. But to be honest, I think because you put a lot of miles in that truck right now. And I think as much as you anticipate having to get a bigger truck, I think I've seen you in that truck. I've seen your wife in that truck. Y'all really like that truck.
Right. We really like the truck. It's a good truck.
So stop putting 100,000 miles on a year and drive that Civic for the 6 months. And then make a decision on it. It's just temporary.
See, that's where we in our,
you know, who would be a really good picture of this
in our house. That's where we see differently, because I could see doing that. The president of the company, she's not buying into a 6 month depreciating asset. She's just not going to do it.
Well, in today's market, that asset ain't that depreciating.
I agree.
And also, you know a dude who is actually better at this sales pitch than both of us. Actually, you know, well, at least one of them. You know a dude. His name is Neil Hoover.
Yeah.
Because Neil Hoover is the only man that I actually know and talk to who turn cars into positive investments. I have no idea how he really does it, but he does.
Well, if you're buying Lamborghinis and Porsches, it's different,
but he still, name a car that Neil lost money on besides his first car he ever had.
Well, he definitely lost money on his first car. That was Mitsubishi Eclipse. Probably lost some money on that.
We messed everything up the first time around. The Scion XB,
he probably lost money on. I'm trying to think of what he had after the Scion. And he tries to pretend like he didn't ever own one, but I keep bringing it up that he had one every chance I get. I don't even remember what he had after the Scion. He may have went. Yeah, I can't even remember what he had after that.
I think
he may have had an Escalade after. He may have went from that to an Escalade or something. I don't remember. But anyway, you're right. Since he started buying bigger dollar vehicles, he never really lost money on one or didn't lose much. And I have looked at and considered some medium to high mileage, much cheaper, you know, 5 to 10 year old Honda Accords or Civics, right? I've looked at some of those and thought, well, if I'm just buying it purely from the aspect of I'm going to put a bunch of miles on it, you know, and it's a throwaway vehicle that I only need to keep for a few months, then I don't need to buy something brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But
heck, you might be able to sell it. It depends on how much it is or how much you spend on it. I might buy it at the end of it. It can be my manual itch to scratch. Cause I got the same itch.
Yeah.
Cause to be honest, I'll tell you my new lust. I really wish I could find a Scion TC with a manual.
I've been looking at one right now.
For a decent price, cause that's the last part.
oh, sorry. Hold on. There is one, unless it's sold in the last week. I'm telling you, I've been looking at a lot of cars.
Yeah.
I'm not any closer to buying any of them.
Oh.
But I've been looking at a lot of cars, and all of them have manuals. Let me scroll down and see if this thing is still for sale. I have even looked at, I threw up in my mouth a little even just saying it. I have even looked at Honda Fit Sports with a manual.
That's a funner car than it gets credit for.
It is, and that's why I shared that information, because it is more fun than it gets credit for. It should get more. They sold it. Dang.
Because the ones that that's around me, there's one in Raleigh for, it has like 107,000 miles on it. They want $10,000 for it. And then there's a 14 that is in Texas. They want 15 for it. And they got 117,000 miles on it. And there's another one in Maryland that got 100,000 miles on it. They want 15 for it. But
they're I mean, all they are is a modern Celica, right? That's really what they are.
Yeah. It is essentially the car that replaced the Celica, and the car that preceded the Celica turning back into a rear-wheel drive sports coupe, which is the Scion, and which is the 86.
Yes, the gray 86.
Yeah. But yeah, I found myself, because I was looking at helping the young man look at cars, look for cars in the manual. I was like, man, I still kind of want a TC with a manual.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And all the ones that I keep seeing with manuals are base car, which I'm completely fine with. Because
I think that might have been the only way you could get the manual in the TC.
I thought for a second that you could get it without with some features. But then again, I don't really care, because the only feature I really care about is I'm swapping out the head unit. So, So. Besides that, it does everything else. But besides that, it already does everything else I want. I don't need sunroofs and stuff like that. I needed to have a manual and me to be able to swap out the head unit and not be on the verge of blowing up. But that was another one. I mean, but to be honest, I mean, 10 grand for this one that's in Raleigh. I mean, you're going to put, in 6 months, you're going to put maybe, I don't know,
15,000 miles.
15,000 miles on it? You'll be able to sell that car for 10 again, probably. More likely.
Yep.
It's in Raleigh right now.
Yep. Is it?
It's white, though.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. But yeah, man, that's my pitch, that you do both things. You had some significant life changes that I think you were aspiring to, even if you wouldn't admit it. you don't have to go overboard with it, but at some point, man, we're gonna be, especially you and how young your daughter is.
Okay.
You're going to spend a whole lot of time taking her to dangle and buy her dreams. And by the time she's done, you're going to be 60, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully aware.
So you might want to go and scratch these itches now.
See, that's what I keep saying.
Yeah, because cows aren't necessarily cheap. The vehicles and trailers it takes to pull cows around definitely aren't cheap. She's probably going to discover cheerleading or something crazy, and you're going to be taking her to those events. Yep. So, I mean, you're going to be doing a whole lot of driving Miss Daisy around. Miss, not Mrs. Miss.
Very true.
I think, to be honest, I think these are both two itches that you, I think you would regret scratching if you didn't do it. And y'all are decently secure. So it's like, it's less than taking a vacation.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to land. Maybe we'll know in the next episode, which, by the way, will be a few weeks, because I got some busy work stuff coming up and travel. But so listeners, you're going to have to wait to find out what happened. I may not even tell Stanley, you know, just keep him in the dark.
I don't think you should tell me until we get back on here.
I'm going to remember you said that when you start texting.
And then I will save my adult language for after the show.
That's right. There you go.
But yeah, man. You got your quadri. You're gonna figure it out.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, listeners, if you're interested, for the next few weeks, Stanley will probably post this video sometime around the week of the 16th. That week, at the end of the week, I'll be at the state fair in North Carolina. So if you're at the state fair, come by the cow barn. At the state fair, we'll probably be showing. Yeah, I think she's going to show Fancy, and she'll show Peppermint and possibly Oreo.
Who'd have thunk it that we'd be one day talking about the cow that your daughter is showing at a state fair, bro?
Nah. And the following week, if you're in the manufacturing world, come on by South Tech in Greenville, South Carolina, and say hello. We'll be in the Haas booth, running things. And then the week after, that'll probably be our next episode. So the first week in November will likely be the next time we record. So, and right after that, we're going to California for Anna's birthday to Disneyland. So,
I'm just saying that Disneyland trip is costing more than that car is going to cost.
No, it is not. Not even close. Because somebody stays in a lot of hotels and has points.
I don't get to do that when I stay in my hotels. They stopped us from doing that. I guess we get that we're winding down. So I'm gonna tell you my last little story. This is a car story, but it's not a car story. So recently I had to go down to Jacksonville, Florida for a conference, right? And so, you know, the good government, you know, they gave me a rental car. So my rental car was a 2023 or 22, whatever. It's fairly new. It only had like 12,000 miles on it, and it was a rental car. So, Hyundai Sonata.
Do you get a Hyundai?
All right, cool. So, first of all, look at the car. It's like, all right, they made me rent this car from, because they make you rent the cheapest place. So we go there. It's like somebody looked like a converted house that is a rental car place. Cars all in the backyard. So they pulled the car out. I was like, all right, this is about to be sketch. So the car's kind of scratched up not necessarily, doesn't look like Enterprise. And I was like, all right, it don't matter. It's just a rental car. Open the car door. The worst spec, if you are a rental car company, talking to all the rental car companies, buy a car with a white interior to rent. That is dumb. The car had a really, really light gray interior. It had it had all the stains on it, on every seat.
Unbelievable.
Right. But this is what I'm stuck with, right? Because I can't really change this, and they don't got another car. So,
oh my gosh.
So I get down there. Car was fine. It worked fine. It was a completely base Sonata, like stick the key in the ignition and turn it in 2023 base Sonata. But it still had radar cruise control and all that stuff. Got down to Florida. I forget how much range you get in them cars, because they had like 470 miles of range. I didn't have to fill the car, essentially. I look at my credit card receipt. How much do you think it would cost to rent a car for a week? You've done this.
If I rent from... So I'm Avis preferred. I always rent from Avis. I like Avis. They've never done me wrong. I've never had car problems or damaged vehicles or stuff that didn't work correctly. And I don't have to talk to anybody. I've had a good track record with them. I've rented from other people. It's not always gone as well as it has with Avis. So I stick with Avis. So I can go to California and rent a vehicle at LAX, depending on what kind of vehicle it is I rent. And I can rent it for a week, like a 5-day business week. And it's typically going to run me around somewhere between $750 and $850 for the week.
All right, cool. So this car with the military discounts, and because it was the cheapest place, it was like $357 for the time I had it, right?
So I picked now, it up on Monday. That's the other thing. I don't rent small cars either. So it's usually a minivan or an SUV because I'm usually not by myself. So that is a little
Would have been double that. If I would have got the smallest SUV, it would have been double that.
Right.
But, so it was like $357. So I get home and I check my credit card receipt because, you know, you got to do your travel stuff at the end of it.
That's right.
There was a decline charge on my credit card. I was like, what was that? That's weird. They tried to charge me and it was declined $35,700 to rent this car.
What? You said they tried to charge you to rent a car or to buy three?
The person at the desk, I didn't know they had to manually type this in. Because, you know, enterprise, you don't got to have
the extra zero.
Yeah. She just didn't type the decimal. She just typed zero. And then as soon as I get back to work, I get an email. It's like, oh, you have a declined card in your government travel card, you know. And the administrator, she called me. It's like, hey, did you have any issues? I was like, no. I was like, look at the receipt. It was that charge. Then they tried to fix it. It was like five charges, that's but all of it equaled out to be $357 because she was trying to fix it. But imagine a $35,700 rental car for a Ford X.
That's insane.
And if I'd have had if I'd have had an unlimited card, which I actually should have, that charge would have went through the first time, and then I would have had to explain that.
Yeah, well, that gives me some concern as somebody who has an unlimited corporate card.
Yes.
That's a bit on the sketchy side.
Yeah, because, I mean, I signed the paper for $357, but they tried to put the charge in there for $35,700.
Wow. Yeah, that's just, that's unreal.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is pay attention to what these people are doing, especially if the place don't look like a real business.
Yeah. Yeah, the other moral of the story is punctuation matters, even if it's a decimal.
Yes, it does. And with that said, I love you, brother.
I will
talk to you soon. And I guess we got some work to do with this quarantine.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yep. Night, y'all.
Later.